interwoven with memories and feelings which are yours alone. This intimate, private, and deep communicable story is assigned to this object. In most cultures, the bird is the natural metaphor for the soul. But can we observe consciousness as we observe birds in animal documentaries? What can science say about this I and this me which are experiencing life in the world?
Square, closely, the color of the strangeness and its place are exactly the same. It's the same shade of gray that penetrates our retina. So what's going on? There is a somber mark which could well be a shadow. It seems to come from the cylinder which is placed on the chessboard. So our brain subconsciously subtracts the shadow from the perceived image. And shows us the chessboard as it would be if there were no shadow. These calculations are performed completely unconsciously. The only thing we are aware of is the final result. But this example clearly shows us that the brain engages in extraordinarily complex calculations before we can arrive at the conscious information.
Synchronizing and coming to agreement. It is indeed a number.
phrases, systems of places, systems of written or spoken words. Initially, these systems do not communicate between themselves. So according to our theory, the object of consciousness is to share this information. To be conscious is to have precise information available to us from the combined cortical treatments.
To represent ourselves. We have an image of ourselves. But these are layers which are
cultivated in order to conform to the world's expectations. To be loved, it was a moon. For the face of everything is the need to be loved. The level that one constructs will be many.
Explain it. Is it just a question of neuroactivity?
and we don't redefine it. Is consciousness just this dialogue that I'm having with myself at the moment? No. We can't reduce consciousness to whether or not there's language or communication.
Surprise. but it can equally provoke subjective coming to awareness. Ah, this sound is different.
With this simple auditory test, researchers have found a way of seeing a trace of this surprise at the heart of the brain. The presence of this trace signifies that the patient is conscious.
So what we see very well is that when he heard the sounds, his brain had a response to the first sound, but the important point is that about 3/10 of a second after the fifth sound was played, when the fifth sound was different, a surprise, a violation of the rules of what he expected, we had this enormous positivity, which was absent when the fifth sound obeyed the rules, and that is the signature of awareness.
To measure its complexity,
and beautiful structure. Up from there, where Peter is where the biggest power and pure is the expression of a nation. Your beautiful personality.
During dreamless sleep, our cerebral activity is not very complex. But what happens when we dream? Our brain is disconnected from the world, and yet it generates character. It stimulates new landscapes based upon dormant subconscious memories. In what state of consciousness or unconsciousness are we when we dream?
Anyone who tells you that dreams are the unconscious is taking an absurd shortcut. Your dream, by definition, is a state of consciousness.
So we're looking for a way to study consciousness. And it was in 1978. That is so remarkable of being in a dream and feeling us present as fully, vividly here as we now.
Consciousness is good. We create our own experience of reality.
our eyes to the senses.
Separate from the body. Body and consciousness are intimately linked.
and emotions do not come from an immaterial mind, but from the body, and notably from an organ, the brain. The least of our desires, each of our decisions, should therefore be written here in the tracery of our neurons, in the form of a still mysterious code. But that still doesn't tell us who makes my decision.
While I was at school, I was often solving complicated maths and physics problems just for fun. And I realized when I get stuck on a problem, and it could help that I start doing something different. And I start with a solution that pops into my mind. And this fascinated me so much because I was wondering who is actually doing the calculation, who is solving the problem.
In Berlin, John Dylan Haynes is looking for the cerebral signature of our free will.
We already found out that we can read a person's intentions to some degree from their brain activity. But the big question is, can we tell ahead of time how someone's going to decide in the future? So we put people inside a brain scanner to find out whether it would be possible to predict a person's choices even before they themselves felt they were making up their mind. Very simple experiments. They were given one in the left and the right hand, and we asked them to freely choose at some point whether they wanted to press left or right button. So that's the free choice.
To be sure of testing a totally free situation, the researcher proposes two extremely limited alternatives. The person pushes one of two buttons which produce no effect. They have as much time as they like to decide which one. The cerebral signature of this inconsequential decision is astounding.
And it turned out that we could predict a person's choices, to some degree at least, from brain activity up to 7 seconds before they fall to making up their mind. Up to 7 seconds before they fall to 7 seconds.
7 seconds. An incredibly long time.
So looking at people's brain activity, we find two regions where we can predict their decisions. If we look into the voxels, a voxel is a volume of small sugar cube-like structure in the brain. Then we find that some voxels have increased activity when you're about to choose the left button, and some have increased activity when you're about to choose the right button. So the patterning of the fMRI signal tells us how people are going to decide. And in that case, the consciousness doesn't actually have any causal influence in what's happening. It might be just informing of a memory or for something like that, keeping you informed of what's going on.
Of course, this experiment only tests a tiny decision with no risk. But what about our more complex decisions? Are they the sum of numerous small decisions secretly taken by our neural connections? Or does there exist a conscious me capable of influencing our unconscious mechanisms?
If with free will we mean the negative assumption that we can make up our mind independent of our body and of our brain, then I would say it's pretty clear now from current research that there is no such thing as free will.
The opinion of liberty is part of the construction of our brain. If I set into work this circuitry in our brains, by bringing into play our systems of values which are inscribed in our brains by our genes and our education, then we take a decision that we call free. We mustn't think that we are capable of a supplementary noble decision. Our consciousness accepts decisions which are the tip of the iceberg, coming from the depths of our non-conscious circuits. There is perhaps 90, 95, 98% of the activity of our brain which is not conscious.
Thank you. role in our unconscious processes. The more a piece of information circulates in our head, the deeper it becomes ingrained in our nerve connections. These non-conscious paths are the fertile grounds in which our thoughts grow.
The brain's job is to produce thoughts, just as the lung's job is to breathe, the heart's job to circulate the blood to the heart. We don't have to concern ourselves with it. It happens on its own. The problem is that my brain works according to my temperament, my genetic pattern, according to my past. So in the end, my heart and free will, my decision making about my life patterns are not much called upon. Of course, the more I'm aware of what is going on inside me, what's still there, and how I'm living my life, that I'm experiencing guilt, the more I increase my breathing. In 1992, we had the first studies showing that psychotherapy modified the brain's functional dynamics. It's a historic date because for the first time, it showed that purely psychologically, and behavioral efforts could modify an organ's function, the functioning of the brain. Meditation does exactly the same thing. From the outside, it looks like a magical thing, but it's just logical. The brain is an organ, like the others. If I work my muscles regularly, I develop my strength and my suppleness. If I work my brain regularly, I develop certain cerebral capacities. perpetually changing dynamic flow, but a flow experience moment by moment, each moment determining the following state. And the totality of the experience is long-term, meaning my present state reflects the story of this continuum, some of which I remember, some not, but it represents the current state of this continuum, end of the story.
Of the billions of phenomena which swarm in and around us.